From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
Well, there's a group of 18 photographs from a wedding we think is around 1957.
If you were on social media a few weeks ago, you might have heard about these photos that caused quite a stir for Philadelphians.
It's two men doing their vows. They've got groomsmen. There's an officiant with a book. They exchange their rings. They have their first kiss. If these were straight pictures, these would be your standard wedding pictures and not really remarkable.
But these photos are remarkable, and not only because they show a gay wedding ceremony in the 50s. They're remarkable because those photos were never delivered to their owners, and we have no idea who these guys are.
So why didn't these photos ever make it to this couple? And what do they tell us about what life was like for the LGBTQ community in Philly in the 50s and 60s?
Today on The Why, the mystery of the wedding photos.
Filmmaker PJ Palmer has been trying to find the men in the photos for a couple years now. He's creating a documentary series based on his investigation. So PJ, tell me again how these photos ended up at the archive where they ended up. Where were they found?
So they were developed at a drugstore up on Broad and Allegheny in the mid-50s, we believe. And the owner of the store allegedly said that these photos, he deemed them inappropriate and did not want to return them to the customer. So he did say that the employees could do whatever they wanted with the photos, and a staff member kept them in a collection, and they were just put away in a box, I think, for 60, 70 years. After that person passed, her family went through the estate, found the photos, and, you know, I think were very surprised to find the photos. They got to the archives, two rolls. One went to the one archive at the libraries at USC, and one went to the John J. Wilcox Jr. Archive here in Philadelphia.
So when did you first see these photos?
Gosh, it was, I think, November of 2017. So almost 2 full years ago. My buddy Neil, who I'm working with on this, and Michael, we took a tour of the one archives at the USC libraries in Los Angeles. And on that tour, this was one of the items they pull out to show people. They were just in this box in this archive, and we're looking at these photos, and we were all so moved by them.
Why?
And you know, I'm tears. And I was like, I don't tear up that. I mean,
yeah,
okay, a good
yeah.
Hallmark commercial will get me, but that's everybody. But, you know, I was like, why am I having these tears? And it took a while for me to figure that out. And I think what it is I've personally never seen those kind of family photos in the family albums. Not in my family.
Yeah.
I've never seen them in anybody's family. For gay people or for any sort of LGBTQ folks, that's been suppressed.
So looking at these photos, what are some things that you notice that have been sort of like leads
sure.
for you?
Well, one of the really interesting things is, like, if you notice, all the blinds are shut.
I did notice that.
Yeah, so we noticed that.
We can't see out the window, for one thing, so we can't see where we are. And then we have to think of, why are they shut? And it's pretty obvious. This was meant to be private, and they didn't need anybody peeking in.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, you know, there's like a telephone on one of the desks in there, and the old phones back then had the phone number in the center. We've looked at that. We've blown these pictures up so big and looked at so many little details, you know, every little piece of clothing, jewelry, who's wearing what when,
right.
when jackets come on and come off, and sort of made a timeline out of them.
I also noticed that it looks like some of the pictures are simply not from the day of the wedding.
Correct.
They're just from other days, and they happen to be on the roll, right?
Yeah, and so Bob Skiba over at the William Way Center.
Hi, I'm Bob Skiba. I'm the curator of collections here at the John J. Wilcox Jr. LGBT Archives.
He pointed out that most likely when the photos went to go be developed, there were still extra pictures.
And you didn't want to bring in your roll of film until it was all used up.
So you just take pictures of the family dog, your apartment, or whatever, and he feels that might be why these other photos are in there.
Like just pictures of the apartment.
Of a apartment, but it's not the one they got married in. It's a different apartment.
Oh, it's not the one they got married
in.
My own theory is that whoever took the photos, the photographer, had the second roll of film, had 4 pictures left on them, so he randomly took pictures of his own apartment.
I was interested in this one because nobody's dressed up in this one. So is this one that we think is different?
So this picture shows a couple of the groomsmen, I believe, and the officiant together sitting on a couch in the apartment that the wedding happened in. And I'm pretty sure this is after the wedding because the men are wearing rings.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Yeah. They're wearing rings.
That really is good, PJ.
Yeah.
I know you've been looking at them for 2 years.
I was gonna say, so an investigator could have got that done in 20 minutes. 2 years later, I'm like, well, they're wearing rings. So clearly it's post-wedding.
What have you learned thus far about life in the LGBTQ community in the 50s that you may have not known before? I mean, did you know that people did commitment ceremonies at the time? Mm. Did you think that that was a common thing?
Not at all. And yet I found out it seems like it might have been very, very common. Mm. Not just the 50s, but always. There's some experts we've spoken to who are like, oh, people do it all the time, always have. Maybe they didn't take photographs and maybe they didn't try to get them developed.
They were taking a chance by doing this, by bringing this somewhere. Someone could have called the police on them, not only not returned the photos.
So, you know, we were talking about if these guys are alive, they would be in their late 80s or 90s. Unfortunately, when I think about the likelihood that they may have been alive, I do come back to the AIDS crisis of the 80s and 90s. Is that something that you think about?
Well, I think we think about it in this context. Had this been photographs of a straight couple that weren't given to that couple, I think we would have found them in 2 seconds. Hmm. But here, we're searching these communities, but people are gone. And they're not just gone from old age. You know, this is pre-AIDS, and not a lot of people have survived that. And so, you know, there are a few very gracious, wonderful people in their 80s and 90s here in Philadelphia that have, I mean, quite a few that have helped us. But when you start to look at how many are gone, and they left us in the 80s over AIDS, it's incredible. I mean, you know, that population was completely decimated. So we lost a lot of clues there.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. We're talking with filmmaker P.J. Palmer about a group of photos of a gay wedding in the 1950s. P.J. and his collaborators are searching for the identities of the men in the photos.
Let me ask something, and I know that you don't want to give away everything, but have you gotten any clues that the wedding party, any of it, was grounded in Philadelphia, in our region?
Yes, of course, yes. Quite a few. Hmm. We have. We just haven't been, it's that verification part. We haven't gotten there yet. And that's why we need more clues. But yes, I mean, to be honest, I think it's here. I really do. But I can't say 1,000% yet because we don't have it verified.
I knew it, Charlie. I knew it.
it feels like it would make sense to me. I mean, given the time period, it seems plausible. Certainly.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Philadelphia was known as a tolerant city, mm-hmm. at least for civil rights. I mean, you know, a huge Quaker influence. And I know for the African-American community, that really lends some assurance that this is a place that you could be and be safe. I don't know if that translates into the LGBTQ community, but Philadelphia has always been known for its tolerance.
Yeah, I mean, what we've learned about the history of Philadelphia, which I didn't know, I'm not from here, you know, and for the first year before we even knew we were making a TV show about it, just looking for the guys, I've learned so much more history about Philadelphia and about the gay community here. And, you know, I think, yes, you're right, there was a lot of support in some ways. And then also there was a lot of pushback. Rizzo was a problem. Hmm. And there were riots here or pushback from the community before Stonewall. Which isn't really talked about, you know, but Philly kind of did it first. You know, this is an erased history, and we're going to, you know, unerase it if that's possible and bring it back into our consciousness. I mean, as a kid, had I seen these photographs, I know my life would have turned out differently.
Because how so?
Well, because I would have seen I'm not abnormal. You know, sure. Growing up, I didn't have any evidence that what I was feeling was okay or that anybody else on the planet felt that way or any of my family members, which is very important. And, you know, my great uncle, who he passed before I was born, but he was gay and lived with his partner. And I've never seen a phonograph of the guy. And I don't, you know, I don't think it's the family suppressing anything on purpose. I think it's part of the times, and I don't know what his personality or why he didn't have photos, but I would have liked to have seen photos like that. Had I seen that of my great uncle, I would have really been able to attach to, oh, I'm like somebody in my family.
Mm-hmm.
I have ancestry of my own.
Why do you think everybody is so caught up in this?
I think part of it might be that we are so used to today taking our own photos. It's your God-given right to have your photo because you've got a great camera in your pocket.
Right.
That can take selfies or turn around and do anything. And you've got an Instagram and you've got all these things. So I think we live in this moment of photos are everything to us. You know, I talked with people who were anti-gay marriage. I mean, who work against it. Who are like, oh, you need to find these guys. They deserve to have their photos.
Huh.
Like, that was the wrong that was done. It wasn't that they got married. People can agree or disagree about that. It's about these men deserve to have their photographs and nobody should have taken that away from them. I think what they show is that LGBTQ people have love. It's real. You see the photos. You see these guys are, they look really, really happy. They look really like they're having the best day of their life. And that is not something that's only for straight people. And it's always been that way.
They're so personal and they're so engaging and they're so warm. And certainly after marriage equality became a reality in 2015, they took on a whole new meaning. When here was something that happened 60 years before, that was kind of a premonition to that. They're very engaging, they're very personal, and they're very joyful.
PJ, do you have a favorite photo, one that you always come back to?
Yeah. There's one of the two guys. It's a close-up, the two grooms, and they are looking at each other. I don't know. They're having a private conversation. I think it's taken during the reception, but I just love it. You know, it's a candid moment. You know, a lot of these are staged a little bit, like the cutting of the cake, which is beautiful. But this one, they're having a moment. They're having a private moment. They're looking directly in each other's eyes, and I feel like they're talking. Something was just said or about to be said.
If you had a guess, could you imagine what they might be saying?
Probably that, yeah, this is, the vows are real. We're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing this.
Yeah.
Who knows? You might also just say, I got to pee.
Yeah.
Filmmaker PJ Palmer is making a documentary series on the photos. And you can see the photos at r1story.com, where you can also let PJ know if you have any tips.
And you know, Shai, we've become a bit obsessed with finding out more about these photos.
Yeah, more than a little bit, I would say.
So you can send your tips to us, too.
You can tweet us at Shai Ben Yaakov and at Annette JH.
The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall.
And me, Shai Ben Yaakov.
Along with Alex Stern and with editorial direction from Katie Colinaire.
We had editing help on this episode from Eugene Son and production help from Kelsey Hansen.
We'll be back tomorrow.